On the show today, reinvention.
I think that for most people today, and certainly the vast majority of young people, capitalism has not worked for them. It hasn't. Like, they are not better off than their parents. They're living at home, saddled with $200,000 worth of college debt and facing the prospect of climate oblivion. And for those people, my sense is they're desperate for a new set of ideas.
So do you still think of yourself as a capitalist then?
Yes, yes. And here's why. Markets are the greatest social technology ever invented for solving human problems.
This is Nick Hanauer.
Now, the way in which you organize those markets, which is what we're presently calling capitalism, well, there's as many flavors of that as pie. And in the same way that dirt pie tastes terrible and cherry pie tastes great, you can have a great institutional arrangement of markets or a terrible one.
Nick is a billionaire entrepreneur. He was the first investor in Amazon. He's since cashed out.
Yeah, and that worked out super, super well, obviously.
But over the last 20 years, Nick has come to question the very system that worked out so well for him.
That's not a capitalist democracy anymore. That's some sort of feudal autocracy. And so I had this freak out and recognized that if we didn't fix this as a country, that it would collapse.
The government is working better and better for the billionaires.
These ideas are definitely not new.
And worse for everyone else.
You've probably heard candidates talk like this on the U.S. presidential campaign trail.
We will not give tax breaks to billionaires.
But Nick's part of a small club of billionaires who want to be taxed more, to pay workers more, to reinvent capitalism. So how do we reinvent capitalism?
So to reinvent capitalism, you have to reinvent the meaning system within which it sits. You have to rip economics down to the studs.
Nick Hanauer explains from the TED stage.
Rich capitalists like me have never been richer. How do we do it? How do we manage to grab an ever-increasing share of the economic pie every year? It all comes down to just one thing. Economics. Today's growing crises of rising inequality and growing political instability are the direct result of decades of bad economic theory. Neoliberal economic assumption is that the price of something is always equal to its value, which basically means that if you earn $50,000 a year and I earn $50 million a year, that's because I produce 1,000 times as much value as you. But please, take it from somebody who's run dozens of businesses. This is nonsense. People are not paid what they are worth. They are paid what they have the power to negotiate. And wages falling share of GDP is not because workers have become less productive, but because employers have become more powerful. By pretending that the giant imbalance in power between capital and labor doesn't exist, neoliberal economic theory became essentially a protection racket for the rich.
Can we just talk about why there is this huge wage gap?
Okay, to answer your question, we have to get a tiny bit wonky.
Let's do it.
Okay, so the mid-20th century was dominated by a set of ideas that all the policymakers relied on to describe what the economy was and how it worked and what we should do to make it better. And their conception was, in an efficient market populated by rational, selfish people, it always is at the best possible place. And if you change it, you'll make it worse for everybody.
They're saying that it's rational to be selfish because presumably you're looking out for your own survival is the way they
Correct.
Look at it.
Correct. And that's the only thing you're looking out for.
So greed is...
Greed is good.
Under this economic logic, greed is good. Widening inequality is efficient. And the only purpose of the corporation can be to enrich shareholders, because to do otherwise would be to slow economic growth and harm the economy overall. And it is this gospel of selfishness which forms the ideological cornerstone of neoliberal economics, a way of thinking which has enabled me and my rich buddies in the top 1% to grab virtually all of the benefits of growth over the last 40 years. But the economics that made me so rich, it's backwards. In fact, a growing number of academics and practitioners have concluded that neoliberal economic theory is dangerously wrong.
I mean, that theory really reminds me of the 80s and trickle-down economics.
That's right, trickle-down economics. When the rich get richer, that's good for society. And it was enshrined in all kinds of laws, like the fact that if the minimum wage had tracked productivity, instead of being $7.25 today, it would be more like $24, right? Why did we suppress it? Because the framework that we live with was built by and for mostly rich white men to benefit rich white men.
So I have to ask, as a rich white man, when you started poking holes in some of these theories and speaking out about it, that certainly must have surprised, shocked, maybe dismayed some of those other rich white men?
Oh, yeah. Not a great way to win a popularity contest. Definitely not.
What would they say to you?
You know, in the beginning, it made people super, super angry, even my close friends, because I think that people didn't understand at all how bad inequality had become. And so,
did you ever have this conversation with your buddy Jeff Bezos?
Only loosely. Jeff Bezos is a radical libertarian who is as neoliberal as they come and who desperately wants to believe that the $100 billion of wealth that he has, he deserves. So, yeah, we're definitely not aligned on these issues.
So as part of your strategies to reinvent how our economy works, you have been an advocate of raising the minimum wage.
Yep.
You've also been advocating for the rich, like yourself, to be taxed at a much higher rate than what it is now.
I mean, it's probably less than you pay.
Well,
Because most of my income is in capital gains, which is taxed at a much lower rate than ordinary income. For the first time really in American history, first time in 100 years, billionaires paid less tax on their income than, you know, median workers.
Mm.
And so if you want to have a functioning society, you have to fix that and appropriately tax both wealth and income and capital.
So how much in taxes do you think you should pay?
50, 60% probably, at least 50. Yeah.
So why not just give that money away?
I get that all the time. And I could do that. I could. But, you know, what I do individually would not be effective. So I spend my money on minimum wage campaigns. Mm-hmm. And my team just pushed through in the state of Washington the highest overtime threshold in the nation when fully enacted. Basically, anyone who makes less than $100,000 a year will get paid time and a half for working more than 40 hours a week.
So let's, can we cast forward? Like, let's say, Nick, your wishes come true. What does that look like?
So if I was in charge and my dreams came true, we would have an economy which was much larger because instead of the median wage being $36,000, it'd be more like $60,000 because people would be getting paid as much as the productivity of the country suggested they should be. Hmm. So imagine a society where you could, for instance, be a waiter in a restaurant because that's what you enjoyed doing and live a dignified, stable, and secure middle-class life with a prospect for retirement. Like, that's the society we want. That we want to have a society where the price of operating a business is that you pay 100% of your workers enough to get by without food stamps. And that we agree that if an industry cannot operate in a way where all of their workers live dignified and decent lives, then that industry or that company should not exist.
But for that to happen, those are the people who have to give something up. Someone has to give something up for the rest of the people to get something.
Yes, correct. And while there will be some rich people who will disagree, at the end of the day, a society where everyone is doing well will be a society that will be better for rich people too.
That's entrepreneur Nick Hanauer. He's also the host of the podcast Pitchfork Economics. And you can see Nick's full talk at TED.com. Thank you so much for listening to our show on reinvention this week. If you want to find out more about who was on it, go to TED.NPR.org. And to see hundreds more TED Talks, check out TED.com or the TED app. Our production staff at NPR includes Jeff Rogers, Sanaz Meshkinpour, Rachel Faulkner, Deba Motasham, James Delahousie, J.C. Howard, Katie Monteleone, Maria Paz Gutierrez, Christina Kala, Kiera Brown, and Hannah Bolaños, with help from Brent Bachman and Daniel Shukin. Our intern is Matthew Cloutier, and our theme music was written by Ramtin Arablouei. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Colin Helms, Anna Phelan, and Michelle Quint. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you've been listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.